Student loan debt is making a lot of headlines lately. Earlier in the show, we talked about Governor Walker's proposal out today to freeze tuition at the University of Wisconsin system for another 2 years. In a lot of states, lawmakers are cutting college funding as tuition rates go up, and students and their families are taking on more and more debt.
And while it may seem like a good idea at the time, when students have to repay the debt, it can hold them back from other investments. It's hard to make a car payment on top of a loan payment, for example. Experts say student loan debt is widening the wealth gap in America.
We want to hear from you on this. Do you have student loan debt? Has it held you back from doing things like buying a new car, buying a house, saving for retirement? Do you feel like you're falling behind your peers maybe without that big student loan debt? Call in now and share your experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email at talk@WPR.org.
William Elliott joins us now. He's the director of the Assets and Education Initiative in the School of Social Welfare at the University of Kansas. Willie, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Veronica.
Well, the issue of income inequality has gotten a lot of attention lately, and now college debt is being called out as part of that problem. How does a big college debt load contribute to the upward mobility of college grads?
Well, what our research suggests is that, for instance, if someone, if we compare two people, one who went to college and had student debt and one who did not, they would have about 63% less net worth. And they would have about 40% less home equity and about 52% less retirement savings. So one way that student debt is impacting families is through their ability to accumulate assets shortly after leaving college.
Well, the common wisdom goes you go to college, you can get a better paying job. Does that idea, getting a higher paying job, does that counteract some of the financial burden of student debt?
I think what really we're talking about is the equity issue as much as anything else. And so if you're a doctor, you go to school to be a doctor and you graduate, you'll get a good job in a hospital. But compared to your counterpart who also is a doctor, graduated from the same school, you'll end up having taking longer to reach the American dream and having less of that American dream. I think one interesting finding from research from Demos and Robert Hilton Smith was he also looked at income and debt, and what he found was that if you have two people to graduate, one with student debt and one without student debt, the person with student debt will start off at the same income level, but by the time they reach their 40s, they'll have less income. And so one might ask why that is, and that's because income really consists of three components: your labor income, but also your capital income and transfers. And here we're really talking about capital income. And people with student debt don't buy real estate, they don't buy stocks and bonds at the same level. And so ultimately, their personal income ends up being less than those without student debt.
How widespread is this issue for the millennial generation right now?
Well, I think it's quite widespread. We know that student debt now is higher than credit card debt, and it's about $1 trillion. And so I don't think anyone will call in and won't have talked to someone who has large amounts of student debt and is impacting their lives. We all know somebody that way.
We've got a lot of folks waiting to talk to you already. And by the way, you can get in on the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. Want to know how student loan debt is affecting your life? Is it holding you back from doing other things like saving for retirement or buying a car or buying stocks? 1-800-642-1234. And let's go right now to Stephanie joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi there.
What do you think?
I've experienced what you guys are talking about. It's great that you are covering the topic because I think it is something that a lot of us in my age are dealing with. And personally have close to about $45,000 in student loan debt. And for me, the only way I've been able to kind of look forward to taking those next steps in life is by having a fiance who doesn't have any student loan debt and with good credit. And he has a car. So, I mean, living without him in the 5 years before we met, it was riding a bicycle and sharing housing with other people, and the idea of buying a house or buying a car just weren't even on my radar. It was just the fact that I put myself through college as the first person in my family to do that, and now dealing with the repercussions of it,
so
having a partner that's helping me with that.
You've got a partner who can help you, but would you do it all over again? Would you choose to go to college and take on the amount of debt that you took on?
I wouldn't. No, I don't think I would. And in dealing with counselors the way that they were available in my school system. I don't think it was as much of an option. It was kind of like you don't go to college or you do. And for me, I just always knew that I wanted to go to college and didn't really have, I think, the resources to explain the repercussions of putting yourself through college for 5 years and what the rest of your life looks like after that.
Stephanie, thank you so much for calling and sharing what your experience has been like. And Willie, what about that? She said if she had to do it all over again, she might not go to college. So is this sort of a debt load going to affect people's feelings about what it means to go to college?
Well, I definitely think it has potential of affecting what we perceive as a return on college. And that's why we talk about the equity issue of someone going who has debt and who doesn't have debt. It really gets down to what we're getting out of college and is it enough? Is there enough return after the debt? And if you can't get a home and you don't get married as young as you would, there's evidence to suggest that you won't if you have student debt, then you might really begin to think, did I make the right decision? I would argue that you did because our evidence does suggest that you'll still be better off than if you didn't go to college, but you won't be as well off as others who went to college without student debt.
Well, what kinds of students are actually getting through college without debt?
Those with either lots of scholarships or who have parents who are able to help save and finance their college education. And some, I should also add, some students are able to work several jobs and do it over a longer period of time and are also able to get out with minimal amount of debt.
Part of the critique about who's getting the scholarships is that instead of going to students based on need, it's going to students with higher test scores, and that sometimes the students with higher test scores are the students who have more advantages, maybe coming from wealthier families. Is that what you're seeing?
I think that is the case, and it corresponds with this whole shift towards putting more of the burden that you spoke about with states taking less funding and families have to pay more. At the same time that was happening, the type of aid that was available became much and much more related to academic performance than need-based aid. So you have both the families having to pay more and more of the aid going to those who are in a better position to do well in school in the first place.
We're talking right now to William Elliott from the University of Kansas about how student loan debt is widening the wealth gap in the United States.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. We're continuing our conversation on student loan debt with William Elliott, Director of the Assets and Education Initiative in the School of Social Welfare at the University of Kansas.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Is your student loan debt dragging you down economically, making you feel poorer than you would otherwise, maybe making you regret the decision to go to college in the first place? Call 800-642-1234. Or send an email, talk@WPR.org.
And let's go back to the phones. We've got Kathleen, who is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kathleen.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What do you think about the issue of college loan debt?
Well, I was a person that I always had a dream, and I went back to law school when I was 42 and got out with, of course, a huge amount of debt because I didn't have anything to liquidate except my retirement, which I did. And so I came out of law school, no retirement, and essentially not many job prospects because nobody knew what to do with older returning professionals in my law profession. So I had to hang out my own shingle. And it took me until age 72 to pay off my loan.
It's interesting because doctors, lawyers, these are high-status professions that generally come with a high paycheck and the kind of job that you typically think of could boost you up a socioeconomic class or two. Did you find that?
No, not at all. I mean, I love practicing on my own. I love the law, so I'm happy with my choice. But quite honestly, I have seen other people in my same predicament that are very unhappy.
Well, thank you so much for sharing what you went through, Kathleen. And Willie, what do you think about that?
No, I think it's something we're seeing increasingly, and it's a concern because we do need people to go into a variety of fields. And if only certain fields are going to really pay off, then it becomes a problem. You would think that law school would be one of those ones that pays off, but there is a lot of lawyers And so that does hurt to some degree. But even if you're thinking about engineering or computers or technology more broadly, we need lawyers, we need social workers, we need different types of people. People teach education, teachers. And if the loans are so heavy that they can't pursue those types of fields, then it creates large problems for society as a whole.
Would you say it's become the point that we are in sort of a paradox? Someone goes to college so that they can become upwardly mobile, maybe be the first one in their family to go to college, and ideally that would be something that would move them up, but instead the student loan debt keeps them down, so it's kind of a wash.
Here again, I would say the evidence suggests that it's probably not a wash for most people on average. But the problem is if we want people to go to college and we need people to go to college to fulfill certain jobs, it's a much harder decision to make now. That the advantage might not be as evident to them given all the debt that they'll have to face for the first 10 to 20 to 30 years of their lives.
Well, let's go back to the phones now. Matthew is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think about student loan?
Well, I just want to comment on the fact that I went to school for many years and doing it on my own dime, taking a lot of loans on, a lot of debt on, and I ended up graduating from two separate schools and I have two separate degrees, and the entire time I was doing that, they were basically selling to me that I'll be able to get a good job, I'll be able to pay off these loans in no time. I've been graduated out of school for almost 10 years, and the entire time I've tried to get a job in the field to have degrees in, no one will hire me.
So it's been a difficult situation for you. Is it something that you've been able to work your way through? Have you gotten what you thought you would out of it?
No, it's been a complete loss for me. I'm sitting on two degrees I cannot use, I do not use, and there's no prospects in using it. I finally ended up going back to a technical college, and it worked out better than a regular four-year university did, but I'm still sitting with all those loans that the people sold to me, basically saying that it would get me a better job, and it hasn't.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Matthew. Appreciate that, and good luck to you in your search for work. And Willie, you're saying that what we found is that you are still better off with a college degree. But is the amount of student loan debt enough, as we're hearing from our callers here, that it is suppressing at least upward mobility?
No, 100%. I think that is the case, and particularly when we think, once again, about equity. If we in America believe that effort and ability should lead towards desired outcomes, and that people who have similar levels of effort and ability should have similar types of outcomes, in the kind of system we've created where we're so dependent upon college debt, it means that two people of equal effort and ability might not have the same kinds of outcomes. And that just breaks down the whole motivation for moving forward, for looking at education as a possibility for moving up the ladder, and for education to serve as a ladder of opportunities. And so, yes, I mean, I do agree that we need to find ways to reduce the amount of debt that students take on. It wasn't until 1982 that really debt became the main driver or main way that we financed college. And so there was a time, and there is a time, you know, we can think of not that far ago, where student debt wasn't the main focus in the main way that we financed college.
Well, I know you've got some ideas of your own about ways to incentivize people to save for college. What are some of your thoughts?
Yes, I do think so. I think there's a number of things we could do. And what we really talked about is starting from birth. And so you have long times and you can get compound interest over time to save for college. I mean, it's not something you can start saving for in 10th grade and expect to save enough money to finance college. Beyond that, we also need to have both private institutions and government find ways to help supplement our saving. And so we talk about children's savings accounts, which allow families to get initial deposits, sometimes about $500 or $1,000, depending upon the program. And then their money they put in the account is matched one-to-one through state or federal funds. There's a number of states now, to include Maine, who have opened up these types of accounts for families. I think that's one way to begin to address the long-term problem of student debt, but it doesn't help those who are already in debt. And I think we have to find other ways to kind of help those people who have already gone to college and already, you know, experiencing this heavy debt load beyond income-based payments. And so I think we have to think creatively about it. I'll mention one other thing quickly, is we've talked about in ways of financing it, potentially using the Pell Grant as an early commitment program where they were given some percentage of the Pell Grant if they were qualified for it in fifth grade. And so they could leverage that money, have a nice sum of money in their account, not use anything but college. And then their families would be able to save as well, and in the end would end up being more money for college than it would have been if they just got the Pell Grant.
Okay, so there's one idea on the table. Let's go back to our phones now. Mary joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to talk to you about my daughter who is out of college and has been for a number of years, and she has decided that she wishes to enter religious life. And she, along with about 10,000 other people who want to enter religious life, are unable to do it because they have to pay all their college loans back prior to entering.
Ah, so this is a unique problem that Mary has. I mean, not unique in terms of the debt, but what sorts of solutions is your daughter pursuing?
About 42% of those 10,000 people cannot enter religious life because of student loan debt.
Wow. Well, Mary, thank you for telling us about your story. This isn't one that apparently a number of people, not just Mary's daughter, are facing. Willie, what happens when debt gets in the way of people's life calling?
I think that's what we were talking about a little bit earlier, that this is the potential, if we rely so heavily on our financial aid system, rely so heavily on debt, that it really can end up steering people into different types of jobs because they cannot realistically pay back the loans. And that's not just religious studies, but in a number of areas. There's just not, whether something be something as basic as being a teacher or, like I said, social work or many other different kinds of humanities, all these types of professions might not pay enough to warrant the kind of debt you take on.
We've only got about 30 seconds left, Willie, but if the current rate of debt continues for students and families, what's at stake if students decide that they just can't afford to go to college?
Well, I think, you know, as we become increasingly technological in society and more jobs require some post-secondary education, the ability to fill those jobs will deplete. We won't be able to fill the jobs as with our own people, at the very least. And that's a huge problem for the country and for future generations.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was William Elliott, director of the Assets and Education Initiative in the School of Social Welfare at the University of Kansas.